Just remain standing if you will. If you've got your Bibles, want to turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 51 for our text this morning. Isaiah chapter number 51. Amen. Today is the anniversary of Brother Junior and Sister Nancy Messick. So I want to remember the Messicks today in prayer. God bless them in their anniversary and give them a good day in the Lord. Amen. And I trust and pray he'll help us as well. I pray for others. I mentioned some that are not here. Daniel's not here, not feeling well this morning. Miss Anna is not here. She's gone visiting some this morning. Pray for her. She makes it back, Lord willing, tonight. And others, other needs that folks that are not here. And I pray that God help those cases. All right. Isaiah chapter number 51. I wrestled this morning during Sunday school hour. I'll be honest with you, wrestled over exactly what to do. I've got my message for this morning, my message for tonight, and Brother Steve was teaching. I almost inverted my message. Went ahead and preached tonight's message this morning because it goes along with what his Sunday school lesson was. But I just didn't. I didn't feel liberty to do that. Entirely, so I said, well, Lord, I'll just go ahead. And then the lady sang that song, and that goes along with my message for this morning. So that's a blessing. Amen. And so that's what I want to deal with here. Isaiah chapter number 51, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12. Just read two verses, verse 12 and verse 13. Verse 11 is another one of those scripture verse songs that we've learned in the past. And I'm going to sing that verse to you, and then we'll read verses 12 and 13. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. I'm glad there's a better day coming for the child of God. Amen. Isaiah, after chapter 40, he goes on talking about some of those blessings of the messianic kingdom that is to come, and the blessings of heaven that Israel will enjoy and we will enjoy. Amen. As a child of God. And Israel had a lot to look forward to. Israel's the promised land of God. And in the millennial, they're going to be really blessed. But I'm telling you, the church of Jesus Christ is the bride of Jesus Christ. We really got something to look forward to in that messianic kingdom. Amen. Now look at verse number 12, and that's where we'll take up our text. The Bible says, I am he that comforteth you. Who is that? Is that Isaiah saying, I'm your comforter? Nope. That's God speaking. I am he that comforteth you. Now he's going to ask some questions. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? Amen. God makes a statement in verse number 12. He says, I'm the one that's comforting you. Then he asks a question. He says, why are you worried? Amen. Why are you fearful? Why are you forgetful? And to be honest with you, that answers itself. It's one of those rhetorical questions. The reason we're fearful is because we're forgetful of who our God is and what he has done. Then he asked the last question, where is the fury of the oppressor? I'm going to try to preach this morning on this thought, needless fear. I really worked on shortening my titles, Brother Steve. Needless fear. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we're so grateful and thankful this morning. Yes.
Thank you, Lord, yes, for your blessings.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings before our lives. Thank you for Jesus and the cross. Yes. Thank you for the
Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Please help us, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, in my daily Bible reading some time ago, these verses seem to just jump out at me. You've seen that. And I think they're very indicative of the day we're living in. I mentioned about 2020 and the fears and the things that are going around. We're living in a time of chaos and turmoil. And it does seem like things are rapidly getting worse and worse in the world we're living in. And I'm afraid that if we're not careful, we'll be like these people. Isaiah is, God saying through Isaiah, why are you so fearful? Why are you obsessing about the oppressor? Why are you allowing these things to capture your mind and your attention instead of recognizing the comfort and the joy that comes from the presence of the Lord? He said, your joy is in me. Your comfort's in me. Amen. Our joy's not in the world. Matter of fact, our joy's not in good health. I'm just as saved if I've got cancer as I am if I don't. Amen. And we could go through a lot of different things that we could say about that. And by the way, that's not to belittle sickness, and neither is it to belittle fear and say that fear's never needful. I guess I'm sure there's good things about fear, and we could say some things about that. But I don't think we ought to live in fear. I don't think we ought to be controlled by fear. Amen. And the world we're living in, the media, they just build on it. They love that because it drives viewers. It drives clicks, as they say. It drives people to see what's going on. The more that they can put that out there, and the more things that they can show there, it seems to me like as a people of God, sometimes we're guilty of the same things Israel was, that we're fearful because we're forgetful. Amen. And so notice that God informs these people that He is there to comfort them. I am He that comforteth you. Amen. Just because this is where I'm living right at the moment. These things are on my mind. I'm thinking about Joshua and Katie having the baby. Melissa didn't sleep much. What was that? Friday night? She didn't sleep much Friday night because she was anticipating they're going to call her and want her to come down there. She was going to be with Katie during the childbirth process. So about 10 o'clock, I think, Saturday morning, Joshua called us. And Melissa, he asked Melissa what she's doing. She said, really nothing, just getting ready. I was going to call you if you hadn't called by 10 o'clock. And he said, well, little Samuel's here. And Melissa said, oh, no, he ain't. Quit joking me, because Josh's all the time. Amen. And she said, I know better than that. And he said, no, really, he is. He's here. She said, first thing, why didn't you call me? Well, and of course she understands, even though, I mean, she would love to have been there, all that kind of stuff, but she understands the reason. Katie didn't want everybody in the world there seeing her in that stage. And Melissa remembers that very well, that when she was in labor, she didn't want her mama in the room. She didn't want nobody else in the room but me. Amen. She didn't want nobody, she didn't want to fuss at nobody but me. Amen. She didn't want nobody to touch her or nobody not to touch her but me. Amen. And, but that's the case. And this is what I was thinking. Joshua was there for Katie, and he was comforting Katie and helping, because they called the midwives. They came in and all that kind of stuff, but they stayed in the other room until it got really right to time. And he was there. Here's my point. When we're going through the labor pains of this world, when we're going through the pains and the troubles and the struggles that we face in life, I'm glad our bridegroom is there. Amen. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Amen. I don't know when the vaccine will get here, but Jesus is here. Amen. Amen. I don't know when they're going to get the answer for all that, but the answer's here in the life of the child of God. He's a very present help. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. A very present help in time of trouble. And I'm so glad. God informs them He's there. He's there to comfort them. And He says, why then are you afraid of some man? Amen. As a matter of fact, God condemns them for forgetting him, for focusing on their irrational fears. Amen. He tells them they're guilty of fearing continually every day. See that in verse number 13? He says you're guilty of fearing continually every day, and yet there's no need for such fears. He said, where is it? Where is it? Where, as if he's ready to destroy. Where is the fury of the oppressor? Now here's something else I got thinking about. And again, Brother Jacob and I were talking probably on Wednesday. I think it was. Could have been Sunday night. We were talking down here front, and Logan had come up. We were all talking, and we were talking about the fact maybe Katie might have the baby. It's a full moon. That was what we mentioned, a fact about it being a full moon. Things happen. The moon affects things. And we said it, and I think Logan said, what's the full moon got to do with it? Well, I don't know all about it, but I know that the moon does a lot of things. The word lunatic comes from the lunar, comes the idea of people go crazy sometimes based on the phase of the moon. Amen. The animals even act crazier when the moon's full and different things. The moon controls that. But here's what I was thinking about. This is where I worked in this sermon, was that the sun is much larger than the moon. And the sun is much more powerful than the moon. But because the sun's so far away and the moon is so near, sometimes the moon has more of an effect on us. Sometimes the moon has more of a pull. It affects the tide and, I mean, just different things that the moon does in its different phases and in the way that it works. And so this was, I got to think about that. Sometimes that is right upon us, that is on our doorstep, seems larger than something that is much larger, but that seems far away. Amen. And so that was the thought that I got to thinking about with these verses. And I worked that into the message that I felt like God would have us to talk about today. So I'm thinking about this. Our immortal life, or our everlasting life, is much more important than our mortal life. Maybe I should say our spiritual life is much more important than our physical life. But because our eternal life seems so far in the future, sometimes people don't think about that so much. They're thinking more about what I'm going to eat today, what I'm going to do tomorrow. Amen. They're thinking more about life, and they're thinking more about time than they are about eternity. Amen. And so I'm afraid that is true in a lot of people's life. They give more attention to matters of time than they do of matters of eternity. Also, the wrath of God is much larger, much more severe than the anger of men. And yet, because the judgment seems to be so far away, sometimes we pay more attention to men and what's going on in the lives and the faces of men than we do thinking about the frown of our Heavenly Father. Amen. We're guilty oftentimes of spending more time in thought, more worry over our acceptance or rejection among men than we think about or worry about our acceptance or rejection before an almighty God. Amen. Amen. So, I'll say that there are times when details that are so small and so insignificant to our mortal soul yet seem to be so large and so pressing that we fret and worry over them day by day. We lose sleep night after night because of those things. Amen. Our text mentions very, very declarative that we worry and fret over some things that are oppressing us, and yet we need not worry about those if we'll just recognize the presence of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. Now, I said it this way, we really do believe that God has everything under His control. We do believe that. Amen. But yet we worry and fret as if everything were out of His control. Amen. We know in our heart that God has it all under control, but we forget to tell our mind. Because our mind thinks, oh no, boy, it's all out of control. What are we going to do? Amen. And so the real reason why we behave in such a manner is because our problem's so near us, and yet we imagine God as so far from us. He says in this very first part of verse 12, I'm right here. I'm not a long way off. Amen. I'm not a distant God. I'm not a long distance God. Amen. Amen. I'll just tell you something a little funny about that before I go on in my points. Recently I went and was talking with a man. I better not say exactly where that was and what was going on with that, but I was talking with a man that asked me a question about why that the Bible says that Jesus is going to split the eastern sky. Well, it don't exactly say that. I didn't tell him that. I knew he wouldn't understand it. It doesn't exactly say he's going to split the eastern sky. It does talk about as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But he said, why is Jesus coming out of the east? Well, I don't know necessarily that he is coming out of the east. I personally believe that that verse is not talking about the direction that he's coming. I believe that verse is talking about the quickness and the sureness and the power of his coming. Amen. But this man went on to say, he said, I believe that the reason why that he's coming out of the east is because Israel is to the east of us. And I thought immediately, does he think that the Bible was written to Americans? I thought, no, the reason why he's coming out of the east is because North Carolina is east of us in Kentucky. No, it ain't got nothing to do with where Jerusalem is or where North Carolina is. Amen. Jesus is coming from heaven, which I believe is to the north. Amen. I believe we can see that in the scripture. But Jesus is coming again. When he comes, it'll be so sudden that just like lightning flashes from one side of the sky to the other side of the sky, he'll be here. Amen. He will be here. Amen. But my thought was that sometimes we imagine things that's way out there and we come up with some ideas that really just, they fit our imagination, but they don't necessarily fit what is reality. Amen. Amen. Well, I got to thinking about this with the day we're living in. We see the oppressor upon us. We hear the news every day. We see people getting sick and people passing away and different things that are happening. And we think, oh my goodness, the oppressor is right here. We can see him with our eyes. We can hear his threatening words with our ears. Our minds are filled with the thoughts and the words of the aggression that's come towards us. And it causes us to lie awake at night, worrying over what is or what might be. Amen. But the problem is that we cannot see our God. And we do not hear his voice. And we do not recognize his nearness. Amen. He says, I am he. I am he that comforteth you. Amen. God's presence is our comfort. Amen. So for my message today, I want to direct my thoughts away from our troubles, trials, and distresses. I'd like to direct our thoughts to our troubles, trials, and distresses, but give them to God rather than carrying them in our own mind, amen, and in our own, on our own shoulders. In other words, when we go to him, we can find rest, we can find comfort, we can find joy, we can find hope when we think upon our God, amen. Now let me just say this, and I'll get my, I've got four things, fears that we think about, but before I mention some of those four fears, I'll say that most fears and worries never even come to pass. We worry about a lot of things that never even happen. Amen. He says that in verse number 13, the last phrase of that, he said, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor as if he were ready to destroy. He said, you're worried about something as if it were true and it hasn't happened. And then he asked the question, where is the fury of the oppressor? God is in control is the point that he's making in these verses. Amen. And so I believe he's saying, although they lived in fear every day, although they worried about the fury of the oppressor every night, that oppressor was not present. That oppressor never came. They fretted and worried for nothing. Amen. Now, I said there's four fears that I believe are common to man. When I say man, I'm talking about humankind. Four fears that are common to man. I'm going to touch on those, try to give us a remedy for those by looking at God, and then I'll be done. Number one, there's the fear of the unknown. Just the fear of the unknown. A lot of people suffer more from dreading disease than the actual disease would bother them. I believe that. Some people are more worried and their fear causes them more trouble than the real trouble would cause them if it was to come to pass upon them. There's an old saying that says, never cross a bridge till you get there. Amen. I think that's a good advice. Now, I'm preaching myself because sometimes I let things run through my mind. You say, preacher, you don't ever worry about anything. Well, you just really don't know the reality of it. Amen. I probably told this before, but back when I was in North Carolina, I had a Mazda pickup truck, if you can believe that. It had a Ford motor in it. And that Mazda pickup truck, they told me one day that my CV joints, had to have annual inspections there in North Carolina. He wiggled that tire. He said, preacher, you don't have to do anything real soon, but sometime, he said, maybe when your rich uncle dies or something, he said, you come in, we need to fix that. I said, okay. The next year, 13 months later, when I went to get my inspection done, and he wiggles that tire, and he said, preacher, this ain't nothing necessarily a real drastic needs to be, but he said, sometime you need to come in, we need to change that. And I said, yeah, you told me that last year. He said, really? I said, yes, sir. You told me that last time. He said, then just keep driving the thing. He said, it ain't going to fall off. It's going to stay right there. And so, a few days later, weeks later, something, my father-in-law was in that same mechanic shop, and the mechanic's wife ran the parts store. And she said to my father-in-law, she said, the preacher, she said, that son-in-law of yours, she said, if worry's what kills people, he's going to live forever. She said, he don't even worry about things he ought to worry about. Amen. Well, there may be some truth to that. My wheel may fall off today on my way home. I don't know. But seriously, the thing is that maybe I exude the idea that I never worry, but sometimes I let things get in my mind. And here's what I found out. Most of those things never even happen. Or at least many of those things never even happen. And the ones that did happen didn't help me to be stewing over it for days and weeks before. Amen. So, I'm just saying, the saying says never cross a bridge until you get there. A lot of people spend all their energy crossing bridges, and when they get there, there ain't even a bridge to cross. They're just worried about danger, there's distress, afflicted over imaginary troubles that were only figments of their own imagination. Amen. Here's a good place for this verse, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen. Sometimes fear of the unknown, it grips us. Number two, there's the fear of man. He speaks about that specifically in our text. Amen. He says in verse number 12, I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that should fear? Or that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die. Amen. Now I know some men are fierce. Some are bold, oppressive, hard, unfeeling, proud, strong, exacting, merciless, and fearsome. Indeed. Amen. Some people have fierce tempers. They give in to bouts of anger. Amen. They may be impetuous, unreasonable, and so passionate that you don't know what to do next. I'm walking on eggshells. I don't know how to respond right here. And those things can cause us fear. Fear of man. Amen. By the way, Christians face opposers and oppressors every day. We do. The world's against us. Amen. Society will do its best to give the Christian a cold shoulder. Amen. They're going to mock. They're going to smirk. They're going to laugh. They're going to make crude jokes. Amen. They're going to make crude remarks about the Christian. Amen. They may even expel you from their company. They don't want you hanging around in their crowd. Amen. You know why? By the way, we ought to expect that. Our Father is at war with their Father. Amen. I'll say that again because it's true. We need to get a hold of it. Remember, our Father is at war with their Father. No wonder they're going to be against us. Amen. Amen. Christian has God for their Father. The world or worldlings have the devil as their Father. Amen. And by the way, when we walked in the world, they loved us. Jesus said that as much. When we walked in the world, they loved us. But when we turned our back on the world, all of a sudden, just by doing that, we rebuked them. We didn't rebuke them necessarily verbally. Some of us may have, but some of us didn't. Just turning our back on the world, all of a sudden, it's amazing. Listen, for example, you men, just by getting a haircut, you make some people feel like their hair is just too long. Amen. You ladies, just by wearing a dress, it offends some people. Amen. And it's so sad that our world gets that way. But Jesus said it in John 15, verses 18 and 19. He said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Amen. And if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Amen. Don't be surprised when we're on enemy territory. Don't be surprised that the opposer is out there. But you don't have to live in fear of man. Amen. Jesus said, remember, they hated me before they hated you. Amen. Number three, there's not only the fear of the unknown and the fear of man, there's the fear of poverty, bankruptcy, financial decline, economic collapse. Well, that's very realistic today. Amen. I believe it's a common fear that grips every person at one time or another. Amen. But some men feel that more than others do, but we all feel it at some time or another. Amen. And I'll just give you a real easy example of that. When a person's nearing retirement, they start wondering, am I going to be able to survive? Fear of economic. Their health starts failing. Listen, one health catastrophe could wipe out almost anybody's bank account. Amen. And so we might have, and I'm not trying to cause you to have fear of poverty. I'm just saying that it's a reality. It is true. There's a fear of economic collapse. Amen. Wall Street can keep on booming and yet we can go bankrupt. Amen. And it can be a genuinely helpful fear. Amen. If it causes us to work hard, go to work every day. If it causes us to prepare carefully. If it causes us to spend frugally. Amen. If it causes us to be careful with what we do, it can be a good thing. But if it causes us to live in fear and to pay more attention to this world than we do to the next world, we've got something out of line. Amen. This fear can cause us to focus only on preparing for a dwelling place here on earth. Never think about a dwelling place in heaven. Where we're going to spend eternity. You remember the rich fool in Luke 12? He's going to build more down here. Never thought about building up yonder. Never thought about treasures in heaven. Never thought about heaven, apparently. All he thought about was the earth. Amen. If we're not careful, this fear can cause us to become stingy and selfish. Amen. Causing us to hoard up all we can collect and put it in some safe place for a later date. I read in a commentary about this verse said that in Germany, and I don't remember now the year, I think it was in the 1600s, in Germany there was a famine came over the land and there was a baron, a rich baron, that had a lot of corn. People came begging him for corn. He wouldn't give it out. He was afraid. He wanted to keep it for himself. So he built a tower just to store his corn in. You know what happened to it? The rats ate it. You know what happened to him? The rats ate him. That's right. He said for 100 years after that, they called that tower the rat tower. Because he was stingy, hoarding it up to himself, wouldn't help anybody else because he knew he had to keep it. But God let the rats get in there and eat it up. I'm telling you, you can put your money in a bag. God can put holes in that bag. Amen. Amen. And so I'm just simply saying we've got to be careful that we don't allow that fear of poverty to grip us and cause us to have those inordinate affections. I have known of people that do without things they desperately need because they think they might need something else down the road. They thought they'd save it for some later day, some later time. That's not necessarily good. And we're living in strange economic times. I realize that. Amen. Jobs may be scarce. Who knows what the economy's going to do? And amen. Who knows if we're going to, you know, we might be afraid to spend money. The housing market's crazy. I mean, it's erratic. Amen. Politicians are making it worse by their harebrained schemes. But listen, they learned how to do that in the Great Depression. They learned how to do it. They made it worse. And they know how to do that. And that's what they'll do because man does not have the answer to that. Amen. I'm simply saying don't trust the government. Trust your God. Amen. Amen. Trust your God. It's God that feeds the sparrows. Amen. They said in that song, he knows every sparrow that falls. I'm telling you, several mornings this week, the skies have been almost black with birds flying across right about sunrise here across the station. I noticed this morning when I came out, all the trees in my neighborhood filled with blackbirds, full of blackbirds. I'm telling you, Walmart run out of seed for that crowd. But God don't. God feeds them every day, takes care of them. Amen. And he said, we're worth more than sparrows. Amen. The same God that feeds a sparrow can take care of you and me. Amen. Amen. That's not insinuating we can be lazy. Amen. Not insinuating that we can be careless. My point is we ought to be diligent. We ought to be careful about our finances, but we also ought to be diligent and careful about our faith. Amen. That it's God that we're putting our trust in. Amen. You remember God fed Elijah, Brother Steve, taught about Elijah, now he's on Elisha. But how that God fed Elijah with the ravens. Amen. The ravens brought him food morning and evening. Amen. You say, but now preacher, you can't go by that story. That's just a story that's in the Bible. I'm living in the real world. And I tell you, that happened in the real world or else it wouldn't be in your Bible. Amen. It happened in the real world and God can take care of us again. All them blackbirds flying over looking for seed, they might drop me and you something if God sees we need it. Amen. Or Brother Ricky can let you catch a fish with a coin in its mouth. Amen. You throw the fish back, but keep the coin. Amen. Or fry the fish too. Well, that's all right with me. But anyway, my thing is, he let Elijah, God didn't let him starve. Even though there was a famine in the land, although there's trouble in the land, God fed him with those ravens and he's by the brook Cherith, but then he let the brook dry up. But when the brook dried up, God had another plan. God sent him to the widow Zarephath. You remember that story? And he fed Elijah there. I'm simply saying this. Sometimes God may let your brook dry up. But God's not out of plans. God knows how to handle things. If he shuts one door, it may be because he's planning on opening another door of opportunity. Amen. I'm glad that he's able to do that. Here's a good quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said this. He said, the means may change, but the God of the means changes not. He will supply your needs. Stand in your proper place. Do your duty. Obey his will and he will not fail you. Amen, Brother Spurgeon. God's not changed. Amen. By the way, I talked about Elijah. Elijah didn't get rich, but he didn't starve to death. Amen. Maybe we think we need to get rich. Might be we don't need to get rich. It might be we need to just trust God and obey the Lord. Amen. Here's what the Apostle Paul, he instructed Timothy and instructs us. 1 Timothy 6:8, he said, in having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We don't have to fear about bankruptcy. Amen. We don't have to fear about our finances or poverty. And then number four, there's the fear of death. And again, everybody's going to face this sometime or another. The fear of death. Some people fret and worry over when, how, what manner death will come. I don't know. I don't know. And none of us do, to be honest with you. Some fear the pains of death. But the truth is, life is painful. Not just death is painful. Life is painful. Amen. Death, in reality, ends all the pain for the child of God. Amen. For those that are saved, death is the doorway into the presence of Jehovah God. Amen. Amen. So why should we fear heaven? Why should we fear eternity in the presence of our Lord? Why should we fear walking through the doorway into paradise? Didn't the psalmist say, I will fear no evil? Even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, why will I fear no evil? For thou art with me. That's what God's saying in this whole book of Isaiah, in this particular text. God's saying, listen, you're looking, you're focusing on that is near, and you think I'm a long way off, but I'm not a long way off. I'm with you, and you don't have to fear what you're going through. Amen. Amen. Well, and I'm not belittling it. I realize I don't know how close I am to death, neither do you. Amen. I don't know what will happen. You know, the doctor might say, you know, you've got cancer and you won't live but 6 more months. You can walk out and get hit by a truck and not even live them 6 months. Struck by lightning. I mean, there's a million things that happen. Catch COVID in a doctor's office. Who knows what'll happen? I don't know. But this is my point. Why focus on the fear and forget that God said, I'm with you. Lo, I am with you always. Amen. Even to the ends of the earth. Thank God he is. Amen. So, as a matter of fact, Paul talked about death as something to be desired, something to look forward to. And I'm not blinded. I'm just saying this, what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. He said, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. Paul said, I'd rather go over yonder. It's better for me over yonder than it is over here. Amen. Amen. Philippians 1, 21 through 24. He says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Amen. Paul said, listen, heaven's better, but right now the will of God is for me to be right here. I want to do the will of God. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I don't think he was chewing his fingernails to the quick when he said that. Amen. He said, listen, I'm at the doorway and I'm ready to walk through. Amen. Amen. Now, can I say this? And I'm almost done. In conclusion, I'm going to give the answers to these. I've alluded to them as I've gone along, but say this. Early Christians knew that life was very uncertain for a child of God. Amen. They were hated, hunted, haunted, and hounded on every corner. Everywhere they went, death was waiting them. And yet, they didn't live their life of fear. They were excited about being able to live for the Lord or to die for the Lord, whichever the case was. Amen. They recognized that death could come suddenly. They was looking forward to the day when they could cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now listen, I'm not saying that we ought to sign up and say, all right, I want to die today, but I do want to say this. Why would we want to postpone meeting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Why would we want to put it off and say, Lord, I want to wait a little longer, Lord Jesus? No, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Look forward. Listen, I'll just say it this way. If this life holds all your joys, if this life holds all your treasures, I can understand not wanting to leave this world. But I'm glad God weans us from this world as a child of God. And heaven starts sounding sweeter all the time. Amen. Friends start winding up over yonder on the other side. Family members start winding up over yonder on the other side. Amen. We start longing for that land and longing to see our Savior. And in reality, within us, we know that although there may be fear in this body, yet as a child of God, I know that Jesus is in control. Amen. Amen. I can trust him. I can trust him. Amen. Now, here's my conclusion. Our original text spoke about needless fears. That's what I've tried to preach about. I believe that God has the answer for our fears. I believe this verse does. Colossians 3, 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. If we'll long for heaven, these things on earth don't seem to bother us so drastically. Amen. When we're threatened with the fear of the unknown, that's the first one I talked about, here's what we can do. We can remember what we do know. There's some things I don't know, and it's fearful. But I remember what I do know. Romans 8, 28. And we know. Amen. That all things work together for good to them that love God, them that are called according to His purpose. Don't worry about what you don't know so much. Think about what you do know. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know my name is there. Amen. Amen. Don't rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Amen. If I know my name's in that book, thank God when the roll's called up yonder, I know I'll be there. Amen. I don't have to worry about the unknown. And then when we're threatened with the fear of man, remember the promise of God. God said in Romans 8, 31, what shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Preacher, it looks like it's a giant that's come up against me. Well, if you're David and God's your God, all you need is a little rock. Amen. Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. When we're assaulted by the fear of poverty, remember that our Lord said, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Set your treasure on him, not on other things. Amen. And then when the fear of death comes, remember what the Bible says, Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. He said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Amen. He said the death of a Christian is a blessed thing. Amen. John 14, verses 1 through 3. We hear it read at funerals. Let not your heart be troubled. By the way, that wasn't written to dead people. That was written to living people. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Here's what I believe, and I'm done with this. I'm going to go ahead and come with a song, and we'll get ready with an invitation. I quoted just a little bit of Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David, how you know you ain't going to fear when you come to the valley of the shadow of death? For thou art with me. A lot of times just having somebody with you. If it's somebody you love, if it's somebody you trust, just having somebody with you makes all the difference in the world. But if that somebody is Jesus, if that somebody is the omnipotent God, what do we have to fear? Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm not fussing at you about worrying and fretting and fearing. I'm not fussing at you, but I'm actually saying it's needless. There's no need to. If we will remember our God is present. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth that has, you said it would set us free, has given us the ability to be set free from these fears, has given us the ability to speak to our fears and say, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't have to listen to that. I've got a God. I don't have to fear that. I've got a very present help. I've got a Savior that's walking with me. Jesus is near. Why should I fear? Lord, help us to have that as our motto. Lord, I pray for those that are lost, that they've come to know Christ. They don't have that confidence. They don't have that persuasion. They could if they'd come to Christ. The saying of God, Lord, help us to live it. Help us to not just say we believe it. And really, Lord, help us to be assured of these things. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as we do. If the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. You need to come pray. I want to give you that opportunity to do so.